All right. What book are we in? Ephesians, and we're in chapter 4. Praise God. And what scripture did we leave off in? Verse 25. Amen. Praise the Lord. At least some folk know. Some of y'all have been following. Are y'all keeping your Bibles open as we're preaching? Amen. We're in chapter 4, verse 25 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, beginning there. This is going to be a two-part message. It's going to be a two-part message. I'm going to deal with the first half of it today, and then the second half when we next stand to exhort this text. The 25th verse says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, or be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That just about preaches itself, doesn't it? For a few moments, I want to talk about living the Christian life. Living the Christian life. Living the Christian life. Living the Christian life. Paul encourages the church at Ephesus to live differently from their former lives. He explains that their relationship with Christ can be projected by the way they live. People will know who they are, not merely by what they say or merely by their words, but by their actions. So Paul exhorts the church to demonstrate their new life and this life in Christ by subjecting themselves to the divine power of Christ, which will, watch this, cause a change. Remember, he says in verses 23 and 24, which we looked at on last week, he says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So the call is for each believer, every believer, to change his ways and be different from the world. Not so that we can be saved, but because we are saved. Amen. We're different because we are saved. You don't be different to get saved. When you're saved, amen. That's what it said.
your life changes.
Amen. Amen. I said this in Bible study a couple of weeks ago. You know, you don't do everything that you did before you got saved. Amen. 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 You know what I'm saying? You don't, I mean, look. Maybe you don't stop cussing completely, but you don't cuss like you used to.
Well.
Amen. 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 There's some change in your life. In your life. The call is to strive to be different from where you were. Amen. And so here, Paul exhorts this church, to live differently from what their former lives were. I've said this many times, and I'm going to keep saying it for the next 40 years. Look, let me just help you to understand that you can't meet Jesus and still be the same. There's got to be some change in you. He doesn't leave us the same. Amen. Amen. And the telltale sign of the individual who has not conformed to Christian living is one who says, I've been this way all my life. You can't be this way all your life. And you say you are saved. So the cue is that we are in a new relationship that calls for a new attitude, which says, God desires my best life so that he is glorified by my life.
Well.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
He's glorified by the change in my life, the difference in the way I live, the way I act, the way I treat people. Amen. God is glorified. So what does this new life, this Christian life, look like? What does this best life look like? How do I glorify God with my life as a believer? Paul gives several exhortations to this church in Ephesus, which I believe will help us today as we strive to walk as believers. The first of which we find in verse 25. He says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one to another. Paul says the Christian life is a life of truth. The Christian life is a life of truth. He says lying must be put away. I know folk don't like talking about lying, especially liars. Liars don't want to hear. But he says, lying must be put away. And look what he said. It means it is not something we carry. It is not in the character of a believer. Lying is not, whatever you say, the Bible says lying. Storytelling, fibbing. We don't carry those attributes or that attribute as a believer. Look. People have got to be able to trust what we say.
Yes,
amen. Amen. If people can't trust what we say, they're not going to trust our witness. Does it make sense?
Amen.
So he says, speak every man truth to his neighbor or with his neighbor. The Christian is not to be deceptive, to deceive other people, to walk in deceit or mislead people, make people think things that are not necessarily the truth. He says, put away lying. Which really says that
All of us have the proclivity or the propensity to tell a lie. That means all of us can tell one. But he says, resist the opportunity to lie. Amen. See, here's the thing. Folk ought to believe what a believer says. He says, this is why. He gives us the reason why. That reason is because we are members one of another. Deceit hurts, lies, misleading others hurt. We must be careful not to lie because of how it affects the body of Christ. Lies can ruin our testimony. It can destroy our witness. You know, when we get up and we testify, those are eyewitness accounts of what God has done for us. People bank on the fact that, look, God has done this in their life. And God is working in their life. But to be found to be a liar will cause people to say, you can't believe nothing they say. Child ain't testifying, they test a lie. Somebody said, say it again. They test a lie. Lies destroy our testimony. The believer has to be credible. When we witness to others, we have to be credible. There has to be credibility. There has to be integrity. We can't compromise the truth. And so he says, not only is the truth the facts that we speak according to what is, but we also speak the truth, which is the word of God. His word is truth. Amen. So we cannot compromise who God is and what God's done and how God works in our life. And we cannot compromise our testimony, compromise, watch this, our witness of him because of deceptive life. All right. It's hard, but it's fair, y'all. I'm going to preach it anyway. Look. Don't lie to God. That's what Paul is saying. Don't lie to God. Don't lie on God. How do we lie to God? Lord, I'm going to serve you till I die. Then, you know, one Sunday roll around, we know where to be found. Another Sunday roll around, we know where to be found. It's easy, isn't it? To just stay home or stay gone. Stay away. I'm going to serve you, Lord, till I die. People need us. We say we can't and we won't and we resist. We fail. We lie to God when we say we'll serve him. I'm going to serve you, Lord, regardless of what happens. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, Lord. We lie to God when we say we trust him. And then when we go to fill out that application, we start adding extra stuff. Or we manipulate things or try to make things work in our own power. But we say we trust him. Don't lie to God. Don't lie on God. Don't lie on God. Don't say to God that you, or rather, don't say that God has done something that he has not done. You know, barring somebody else's testimony. Lying on the Spirit, lying on God. You know what I'm saying? Saying we happy and we, I'm talking about shouting and jumping and. I have no problem with it, but don't lie on the Lord. Don't lie to him. Don't lie on him. Lord, I promise I'm going to be a giver, and you have been found not giving. Well, lie on God. God told me not to do it, and you ain't prayed. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Look, it's in the text, y'all. He says that the believer must be a lead a life which is a life of honesty. Does it make sense? Every time, look, y'all, every time we say, every time we say that we're giving our tithes and we give less than what it is, we've lied to God. Don't lie to others. Don't lie on others. Remember, Sapphire and now you remember the husband and wife team? That was is it Ananias and Sapphire? And they were asked to come and give report. And he lied. And you know what happened when he lied? He died. He lied, he died. And then, you know, they carried him out. And then they called for his wife. And she comes switching on in there. You know, just. They asked her, and she told the same lie. And she don't lie to God. Maybe you don't meet physical death, but there's some things that will die in your life when you fail to live the life of honesty. All right, I've been there too long. Here's the second thing. Christian life is not only a life of truth, but the Christian life is a life of temperance. Yes, sir. See it, verse 26, 27? It's a life of temperance. Yes, he tells us, don't be angry. The problem, verse 26 says, be ye angry and sin not, or and let not the sun go down on your wrath. I need to read that one again. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. It's a life of temperance. The problem is not being angry. That's not the problem. That's not the issue. Truth is, we all become disappointed and are sometimes pushed to our limits of refrain. But according to Paul, in this text, the issue is what can occur when we become angry. The problem is not being angry. The problem is your actions and attitude in the midst of anger. When you get angry, do you sin? Do you seek opportunities to hurt people? Do you look for moments to hold on and not forgive? You see it? You see, he said, be angry and sin not. Paul says, a believer, as a believer, don't allow your anger to lead you into sinful action. Amen. Look. I look. Ain't nothing worse than a hot-headed Christian. I mean, I'm talking about, you ever been to, you know, it hadn't happened since I've been here, but I'm just wondering if y'all ever been, maybe at another church or something, you know what I'm saying? You ever been to a business meeting and all the folk in there are supposed to be believers. And there's that one or two persons that just figure that they ought to just...
Y'all, boy, y'all got quiet on yourselves.
Let it be told and get everybody else in line and lose control. Police have to be called. Because of hot-headed Christians, they become angry and cannot control themselves.
And you ain't got it. It ain't just happened in business meetings. It happens in some of our homes.
Hot-headed Christians can't say nothing to them, can't talk to them, but you're supposed to be saved. He says the problem is, it's all right to be angry, but it's wrong to sin in anger. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong to be hurtful. It's wrong to be filled with malice. It's wrong to try to trip people up. It's wrong. To cause harm to your neighbor
because of your anger. Amen. He further states that our anger, he says that we ought not sin when we are angry, but he also said that our anger ought be brief. Yes, it ought be brief. I know nobody here is like this, but there's some folk that can just hold on to stuff. Some folk can hold on to stuff and watch this and then forget what they mad about. But they still mad. You ask, what did they do? I don't remember, but they made me mad. Says our anger. He says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. He says, quickly seek to reconcile.
Amen.
Look, if you go to bed mad, guess how you're going to wake up? Amen. 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 Amen.
There'll be a moment, there'll be a time where you just say, hey, look, I got to get over this because I'm venturing into sin. I cannot go to bed like this. I cannot leave this room unreconciled. I cannot leave this place without reconciling. He is implying that every believer ought be quick to reconcile their differences. We may not always agree, but we can learn to be agreeable. You may see it your way, I may see it my way, but there ain't no reason for us to fall out and lose a good night's sleep. There ain't a reason for us to wake up the next day, got a mouth poked out and fist balled up. You tight, I'm tight. Looking cross-eyed at each other. You know, I don't get it. Look, I don't get it. My wife gonna get me when I get home, but I got to tell it. There's a moment, there been some moment when my wife be mad at me and I be mad at her and I'm through being mad and she looking at me like I ain't. You know, you can mess with me one moment. You know, I'll be mad, but then you know what I'm saying? Boom, I'm ready to joke and play. My wife say to me, how can you be like that? You were just rolling your eyes at me. Now you want to play. Some of us want to just hold on to stuff. Want to keep it going. And we want to milk it. want to get all we can get out of it. The scripture said, don't look, the scripture said, hold on, I don't mean to holler, I'm waking up babies. Okay, let me. The scripture says, don't let the sun go down. Be quick to reconcile. Every believer ought to be attempting to reconcile. That's all right, Brother Burns. She the only one saying amen. Leave it right there. Amen. Be quick to reconcile. And look what he said. This is what he said. This is what he said. He says, lastly, Paul says, he says, resist the devil. You see it?
Yes.
He says, neither give place to the devil. Paul is literally saying, don't let the devil influence you. Don't let the devil cause you to do something that you know you shouldn't be doing. Don't be influenced by Satan and his works. He says, look, Flip Wilson became famous. I'm not talking about when he was being Geraldine, but I'm talking about Flip Wilson became famous for a statement that he would, when he would do something shocking or something, there was, he would say something like, "The devil, y'all use the word, the devil made me do it." And I'm afraid there are many people who still live by that montage, that same thing, that the devil made me do it. But Paul says to you and I that we don't have to give place to the devil. Can I just tell you something? The devil can't make you do nothing you don't want to do. It's called temptation. He'll tempt you. Doesn't mean you won't be tempted. We as believers have been given the power to resist Satan. Don't mean it. It don't mean it, that he ain't gonna keep on trying to control us. And but we must live by the example that Jesus gave us. Luke 4 tells when Jesus had began to fast. Well, he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Luke chapter 4 verse 1 says he was led in by the Spirit into the wilderness. Says that the devil approached him and began to tempt him. And there's something interesting that Jesus does every single time he's tempted by Satan. You know what he does? He says, it is written. It's written that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. He continues to revert and refer back to the word of God. And then he gets to a point where he says, watch this, after Satan had tempted him again, he keeps on taking, took him up to a mountain, up to a pinnacle, and he gets to a point to where he says to him, he says, get behind me, Luke 4 and 8, Satan. He gives us that example so that we might understand that there are some principles and some ways that we can continue not giving place to the devil. We can do that by continuing to stay in the word of God. It is written. The reason why many of us don't have power to resist them is because we don't have the power of the word. Don't give place to the devil. You don't want the devil to have place in your life. Stay in his word. C.L. Franklin says this way when he's describing this temptuous moment for Christ. He says that Christ speaks to Satan and says, get behind me, Satan. Your place is behind me. And many of us need to take the same stance and remind the devil that his place is behind you. But then lastly, the Christian life is a life of generosity. You see it, verse 28? He said, those that have stolen, don't let them steal. He said, don't steal anymore. He says, let them labor and working with hands, with his hands, and the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Really, Paul is saying that as a church, as Christians, we have, we've got to be generous. Our life must be a life of generosity. We can't go through life trying to get all we can. Amen. The old folk used to say, can all we get. He said, don't take advantage of other people. But our lives must be lived to benefit other folk. The Christian community, the church community, ought to be the most generous folk that you want to meet. Ought to have the nicest attitude that there is. A survey was done some time ago, and I'm closing here. A survey was done some time ago about in restaurants with waiters and servers, and they said the question was asked, "What's the worst day for them to be a server in restaurants? What's the worst day for tips? But also, what's the worst day as it pertains to customer and server relationship?" You know what day it was? Sunday. He said, because that's the day when the church folk come in. And church folk come in, and they the meanest folk. The most impatient people. And then after they done ran you to death all over the restaurant, they get up from the table and won't even leave a... they don't leave a tip on the table. They tip out the restaurant. Amen. Thank you. That's a horrible indictment for Christian folk. How are we going to win people to Christ? And we go eat. We make them turn their nose up to... Come on, talk to me, somebody. Amen. I see some folk leaning in the seat, scooting in your seat. Don't know. I ain't talking about you, you know what I'm saying? I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. Live to benefit others. Live. Look, watch this. Live with empathy for other people. This scripture, this text, he said, look, your hand, he said, when you labor, don't just labor for yourself. Don't just labor so that you can come out on top. Labor so that you can help other people. God blesses you so that you can bless other folk. God blesses you so that other people can be blessed by him through you. Does this make sense? Says to give to others. You see it right there? You see it? He said that he may have to give to him that needeth. Scripture teaches us it's better to give than receive, doesn't it? Here's the application for this. Start giving to others. Look for opportunities to do the good thing. Look for opportunities to make other people feel valued. When was the last time you gave something to someone in need? No, I ain't talking about when was the last time you sold something to somebody. Or when the last time you traded something. When was the last time you saw your brother or your sister in Christ, or even saw someone on the outside of the Christian community who had a need, and you just gave. When was the last time you were at the restaurant and you remembered your server's name? You were generous enough to call them by their name instead of, hey, you. When was the last time you did that? Because see, not all needs are physical and tangible needs, but there's some needs that are value needs. Believers are to be generous. Believers are to be loving. Believers, look, wherever we are, regardless of who's around. See, you can look, see, being a believer is not just being a believer when you're around other believers and when other people see you. Let me see. I'm gonna make sure ain't no church folk here. When was the last time you gave something to someone in need and not look for anything in return? When was the last time you did something for somebody in need and not wait for a thank you or a pat on the back? You see where I'm going with this? One of our initiatives this year is that every ministry at Grace would do some form of outreach. Not so that we can get people to come here, but so that they may experience the love of Christ. You see those? Love. People ought to experience that when they meet a person from Grace. We don't have to say we're the loving church or the church founded on love and living in unity. People will see it. The initiative is to reach people on the outside and, so they can experience the love of Christ, but also, watch this, that we may live the love of Christ. Get this, don't miss this. Our purpose is not so we can say, hey, our church is doing this and our church is doing that. Truth be told, look, all of our churches are one church. We're not in competition with other churches. We want people to experience who Jesus is, and we want to watch this, live the love of Christ. People ought to see love when they see you, when they see me. They ought to see genuine love, authentic love, love that knows no boundaries. I ask again. People see the love of Christ in you. Are you generous? Are you honest? Are you temperate? Or are you a liar? Are you a hothead? Or are you mean? Where's your category? Paul says the Christians look differently. I know it's hard, but it's fair, y'all. Oh, yeah, it's fair. Y'all didn't call me to hoop. Y'all called me to a pastor. Are you living the love of Christ? Do you take advantage of people? Have you mistreated your neighbor? Have you ignored the helpless? These ought to be sombering questions that we ask ourselves that should initiate change in our life that says, I want people to know the love of Christ. There's a guy by the name of Jesus who lived his love. He lived his love in the Garden of Gethsemane. He lived his love from judgment hall to judgment hall. He lived his love on the cross. He lived his love in the grave. He lived his love when he rose. Can I just tell you something else? He's still living that love. How did he live that love? How did he live that love? Let me tell you how he lived that love. He lived that love by bestowing grace upon our lives. How many of you know that if it had not been for the love of Christ, none of us will be here right now. Look. It ain't because you so cute and you so pretty and you got everything in place and everything in shape. It's because of the love of Jesus. Let me just throw this in for free. You ain't got to pay for this. Let me throw this in for free. God's love sees all of us. None of us are better than the other. All of us, can I just say it like it is? All of us have sinned and come short of his glory. All of us have messed up. All of us have made some mistakes. All of us have done some wrong. But we've all been covered by the love of Jesus. He's still living his love. He's still living his love. Can I tell you how he lived his love? Thank you, Lord. This lesson has been about us being able to forgive, being able to love, being able to be generous, being able to be honest and temperate. But even so, he's helping us to understand that we ought to have hearts of forgiveness. Isn't it interesting how sedentary we get when other folk mess up, and how we want to put their sins on the spotlight? Baby, let me just tell you today, you ain't all that. All of us have got some skeletons in our closet. But oh, his love, nothing but the love of Jesus. It was his love. Look, if one of us got to come to the front to confess, all of us do. If one of us got to apologize, all of us need to be apologizing. His love covers us. You ought to be able to thank God for, you ought to be able to just thank God for his love. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his tender mercy. Thank God for waking you up this morning. Can I tell you, that was his love in action. Because grace and mercy, or rather. Yes. Justice said that I'm supposed to be dead. Justice said, White, you ain't supposed to be pastoring now. Justice said that, yeah, White, you ain't worth it. But all the love of Jesus, his grace and his mercy covers me. You ought to be able to say thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. I'm through now. I'm through now. I'm through now. I'm through now. But my soul done got happy. Do me a favor. Y'all know I don't do this, but do me a favor. Just slap high five to your neighbor and say, he covered me. He covered me. Come on, that ain't the right one. That ain't the right one. Slap high five to the other one and say, he covered me with his love. Thank God. Let me extend the privileges of the church. Let me extend the privileges of the church. You may come by letter, Christian experience, or as a candidate for baptism. If you're here, why don't you come? While the blood is running warm in your veins, why don't you come right now? Come, my brother, come, my sister.